Bishop Tim has offered a challenge to us in this diocese for 2016, which is that there will be 2016 testimonies. Testimonies are stories of God's love in our lives, what he has been doing in, through and amongst us. And it's not just about the point at which perhaps you came to faith, but what God has been doing since that day that you came to faith. And so he's looking for people to tell their stories, to tell them here, to tell them at the filling station. The filling station, by the way, folks, welcome, is actually something that happens in the Penmorva Manor Hotel. And it's a place where we invite people to come to hear the good news about Jesus in an informal setting. So we have coffee and nice cakes and donuts and all those kinds of things. But there's a gospel message and a story about God's love in our lives. A testimony. So there's the challenge. We could do with a few more. Charles is always looking for volunteers to give testimonies. What has God been doing in your life in the last week? For what do you give thanks for in the last week? Today, of course, there's another story happening because we're going to be baptizing Jocelyn into the family of God in this place. And in just a little while, we'll be doing just that very thing. It's not a once-for-all event. There's no magic in the water itself. What actually happens, of course, is that by faith, we're entrusting Jocelyn to God's mercy and keeping. But it's going to take all the help of the parents and godparents through their prayers and the family of God in this place so that she will come herself to a knowledge of who Jesus is and will be able to sing that wonderful hymn that we've just sung for herself. Or probably something much more modern by then. But whatever the case, these are important days. This is an important day for Jocelyn. It marks the beginning of a journey, not the end of it. We have not reached the end of our journey. We continue to journey in God and seek the most excellent way, as Paul puts it. And the most excellent way is that of love, the love of God in Christ Jesus. To think upon these things has to be one of the most important things that we can do. It is, of course, sandwiched between this chapter. It's sandwiched between the two chapters, 12 and 14, about the gifts that God gives. But, of course, the way in which we live our lives has to be the most important thing. And love is right at the heart of all of that. And so Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and all these wonderful gifts, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I have a faith that can move mountains, but I haven't got love, I am nothing. Nothing at all. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, I gain nothing. It has to begin with the love of God within our lives. That's where it all starts for each and every single one of us. And there has to be a point at which the story of God in your story came to some kind of reality where you were able to say, actually, I cannot live without my Saviour. I cannot live without my knowledge of his love for me. I cannot imagine what it would be like if this was not true. That's where we need to arrive. Each and every day of our lives, actually, but it's certainly at some point. We need to have said this is true for us. Our parents couldn't say it for us. Our grandparents couldn't say it for us. Our teachers can't say it for us. I can't say it for you. You have to believe it and say it for yourself. That, in a sense, is what today is about, this service of holy baptism, where we believe God is present and will honour the promises that we will be praying on behalf of Jocelyn today. He honours that, but he longs for that moment when Jocelyn herself will make a profession of faith, where she will say, Jesus is my Lord and he is my Saviour. And of course, if we are to think upon these things, then we need to think about what it looks like to be a Christian. It's a very good opportunity for us all on a day like this to think about why we are Christians. How did it happen for you? Who told you? Or much further on than that. Why are you still a Christian today? What is it that motivates you to be a part of the family of God? And how indeed are you responding today? And how will you respond in the future? Somebody showed me a picture just the other day of someone I knew very well, but the picture was of them as a baby, in a crowd of babies. Can you pick me out? I said, no, I can't pick them out. I'm not very good at that sort of thing. You know the family photographs. I had no idea. And when they said, it's that one, I said, of course. Of course that's the one. You know, when we give our lives to Jesus and we allow him to become a part of who we are, we should bear something of his resemblance. We should resemble something of him. Not in terms of image, but the way we live our lives. We should bear his stamp in our lives. And part of this, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, is all about love. And that's what should pour out of us, really, as we begin to respond to his love for us. And what our lives should look like is something like this. A love that is patient. We should have a love that is kind. Something, a love that does not envy or boast. A love that is not proud. Not self-seeking, nor easily angered. These are hard things, aren't they? And sometimes we're exactly the opposite of that. And we need something of God's grace and forgiveness every day. And in fact, we need a fresh measure of God's love each and every day. Yesterday's will not be enough. We need today. We need to come back to him and seek his grace and forgiveness for our lives. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's nothing worse than getting involved in an argument with someone. And don't forget, I've never forgotten when you said that. And it all comes pouring back from the past. That's not good. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So that when we see that, and hopefully that's true of Christians generally, but when we see the evil things going on, or even small things that, you know, people fall out and we begin to say, oh, you know, look at that pair again. That's kind of delighting in evil. We need to rejoice instead with truth, the truth about Jesus. And the truth about Jesus is that he was constant in his love. And whoever he saw, he was the same. He was always the same, whoever he met. He always poured out his love to them and he was compassionate and caring. That's truthful, isn't it? Love in all its truth. Able to see people for what they might become rather than perhaps where they were and what they are. I think that's really important, actually. How are you with everybody? It's a good question, isn't it, that we need to ask ourselves. How do we relate to everybody? Are we a bit better with some than others? Not a good thing, is it? And then Paul goes on talking about a love that is always protective. You know, Jesus was fiercely protective of those who were his, and fiercely protective of those who were marginalized, and fiercely protective of those who might become his if they were given half a chance, and the religious people of his day didn't keep them out. Fiercely protective. But he got really cross with people who were on the other side, keeping people away from him. Called them hypocrites and all those kinds of words besides. Love always protects. That's the bottom line, really. Always trust. You know, we have to begin in a place of trust in any relationship, whether it's marriage, within our families, or whether it's in the church family. We need to begin there. And love always trusts. Always hopes. Hopes for the best in each other. Hopes for the best for the future. And most vitally, it always perseveres. Love always perseveres. Never gives up. There's a lovely song about the love of Jesus that never gives up. Never gives up on me or you. Even though I fail him day in and day out, he never gives up on me. And that's God's extraordinary and amazing love. That's what we are baptized into as a family. We're baptized into the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself knew his Father's love as he went into the waters of baptism. The clouds parted and a voice from heaven, his Father, saying, "This is my Son whom I love." He knew what it was to be loved by his Heavenly Father. We too, as human beings, come to know what it is to be loved by our Heavenly Father. And even when we step out of his will, he has a love that perseveres and just kind of gently draws us back in, into the fold, as it were. And that's a wonderful hope and truth. Love never fails, never ever fails. So there are all kinds of things in life that are going to give way. Prophecies, our finances sometimes give up on us. People give up on us. Sometimes we don't have the same standing in a community that we once had. But God never, ever gives up. His love never, ever fails us. And that's what today is all about. We're asking, with God's grace and mercy, for Jocelyn to become a part of God's family, which is worldwide and eternal. And to be part of a family where hopefully there is love in every respect. And Paul says, after everything else is looked at, everything else is considered, he said, these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's seek God's love, his amazing love, with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Because there we will find, we'll find everything that we need to carry on in this life to do the things that we have to do. Let us pray.